In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the reasons that we have the icon of Christ, the Ancient of Days, in the narthex today is because so many of the fathers see that icon and that vision that Daniel has in the book of Daniel when he sees one like the Son of Man coming into the Ancient of Days, because they see that as an image of the second coming. Many, many fathers testify about this, and they say that this is how he will be coming back. Of course, we know at the Lord's ascension that the angels told everyone standing there that this Jesus, whom you see going into heaven, will return in the same manner. And he went up in glory. And when he comes again, it will be with the entire host of heaven with him, and his brightness will be such that the fathers say it's brighter than the sun. The sun will be dwarfed in comparison. And it won't be the Jesus who went up into heaven the way that the apostles saw him going up into heaven, but as the Ancient of Days, one who was with white hair and bright and has no beginning and no end, and that everyone will know exactly who it is when he comes. Now, that could be a pretty frightening thought. On this Sunday, after we've had two previous Sundays regarding repentance and humility with the publican and the Pharisee, and then the prodigal son, on this particular Sunday, the church appoints for us to commemorate that second coming of the Lord. And for many of us, you know, we read chapter 25 in Matthew, and it almost seems like something out of a book of fiction. You know, because we're 2,000 years removed away from the time of the Lord and our highly techno-oriented society and whatnot, the idea of the world ending and of Christ returning is something that is probably really not in our minds at all most of the time. Although for the early Christians, it certainly was. It was on their minds continuously. They looked forward to the day. This was supposed to be an astoundingly wonderful time when this happened. Because, as is portrayed so often today, we don't think about the second coming so much as we might think about all the things that are supposed to happen up until the time of the second coming. All the trials and tribulations, and we become so fearful and frightened and do all these things preparing for it. No. No. My dear brethren, that's a populist vision of what's going on. It is a very Protestant vision of what's going on. Because for us as Orthodox Christians, that is the day we wait for. That is the day we wait for with joyful expectation, because it's something we anticipate so greatly. And we're not afraid of the things that happened before, because we know that if we love Christ, we will endure. If we love Christ, we will be protected. And even if that love of Christ and that protection means that we lay down our lives for Him, we're called to do that every day of our lives. We're supposed to be dying to ourselves every day, so much so that a physical death means nothing. That's the point that we have to arrive at in our spiritual lives. And it's a very important point to take to heart, because when we follow Christ, we are dying to ourselves. We are giving everything to Him. And so none of these other things that St. John talks about in his book of Revelation is supposed to be something that strikes fear into our hearts. No, not that. But the great and final judgment is something that should strike fear into our hearts, that should make us think about who we are and what we're doing. Now, of course, in the gospel we heard today, we hear about the things that the Lord says that we need to do in order to be recognized by Him. Because when we do these things, we are doing them to Him. And when we don't do them, we are ignoring Him. That's very clear. But it's more than just a set of certain things. And I think there's six virtues listed here in terms of what we are to do for other people. There's more than just simply doing those things. That's a misnomer, a misunderstanding somehow, because we read all through the Gospels about how we're to acquire faith, and we're supposed to develop a charity within ourselves, and we're supposed to show these things through the works that we do. And yet when we get to Matthew chapter 25, we read that it seems to be all about the things we've done and nothing else. But that's a misunderstanding, because the Lord, as it says, divides into the sheep and the goats. But if you really read the Gospels, you understand that the sheep are those who are merciful, who have obtained mercy. So in other words, it's not just doing something for someone or a checklist of things that you have to do, but that you've acquired mercy. You've acquired the virtues at that point. The sheep were virtuous, which was why they did the things that they did. And when the Lord speaks of these other things, of the goats, these are people that did not acquire virtue. It didn't occur to them to do things for other people, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison, etc., etc., because they had no love in their hearts. Because when you do these things simply out of obligation, it's not love. It may be for societal purposes, or because we think that's something that we should do as an orderly society to help others, etc., etc. No, it's got to be done out of the love of Christ, that virtue that is acquired within our hearts during our entire lives. Because though, again, this idea of the second coming of Christ is something that seems far away to us, it's also a type, in a way, of what happens to each of us at our own repose. The end of the world is going to come for all of us, one way or the other. Whether we are here when the Lord returns, which God willing may it be, or whether we go beforehand, because when we go beforehand, we are receiving a partial judgment at that point in terms of what the great judgment will confirm. We know at that point how we have done in our lives, whether or not we are loving God or whether we're turning away from Him. So it has a greater effect, a greater anticipation for all of us to think of that day when He returns in glory, when He judges everyone completely impartially in our bodies, not just in our souls, because it was our persons that either did virtue or committed sin. So we're judged as human beings in our persons. This is an important lesson for us, really, to remember and take to heart. Because the Lord wants us. I mean, He would not have told the disciples this if He did not want us to understand that He is coming again. When the fullness of time is completed, and only God knows what that day will be, because even the Lord claimed He didn't know it. Of course, in being as God, He certainly did know it, but in His humanity, He did not know it. And so He spoke honestly when He said that He didn't know when it was. But He did assure us that that day will come, that there is more to earth and heaven and the things we see around us and all the things we do than really meets the eye. That there is indeed a greater plan and a greater purpose, and we have to be prepared for it as if it was going to happen tomorrow, because we don't. It might happen tomorrow. Even though we read about all the expectations of the things that are supposed to happen and all these kinds of things, we tend to look at that in a crass and sometimes material way. Because it may be something entirely different. Because the Lord also tells us that when He returns, it comes as a thief in the night. When we are least expecting it, in other words. So we don't know. We're not sure. And that's the way that the Lord wants it to be for us. But it's given to us to remember it on this Sunday, because we're just a week away from Lent now. This is Meat Fair Sunday, the last day that we eat meat until after Holy Pascha. And Cheese Fair, of course, comes this week. We don't fast from dairy products on Wednesday and Friday this week. You can have cheese and dairy products all week long. But we're gearing up towards next Sunday when after the Divine Liturgy we have the Forgiveness Vespers and we enter into Great and Holy Lent, when we are to start thinking about the things that affect us eternally. And so it's a good time to look at yourself and say, what is it motivates me? What is it that drives me? What is it that's at the center of my being in all my life? What is it? Is it Christ? Because that's the only thing that's going to matter. Or is it something else that is carrying me along? Because everything else in the world is going to go by the wayside. Everything. Anything we do, anything we accomplish, all of our dreams, expectations, hopes, desires, disappointments, you name it, it's all going to go by the wayside. It's not going to go on with us. And only that love of Christ is going to carry us to where we want to be. And the difficulty is that we clutter it up so much. Now is Great Lent should be called the Great Uncluttering. Because now we're doing away with those things that are getting in the way. We're refocusing on what is really important. That's why the church allows us to do this every year. That's why we get to relive the great events of the Lord's Passion in just a few weeks. That's why we prepare for it. That's why we study more. That's why there are more services of the church. Someone told me years ago, they said, you know, you don't like to come to church? Well, you're not going to like heaven. There's incense burning all the time. There's the worship of God going on all the time. There's no Netflix in heaven. And if there is, it would be really, really good. But as far as we know, there is none. And so we have to focus in on the things that are very important to us, that should be important to us, to come back, to repent, to return, to cleanse ourselves, to become Christ-like. Because that's what all of this is about. We want to become Christ-like. There's nothing else. That is salvation, becoming Christ-like. And to the degree that you are Christ-like will be the degree to which you ascend into the kingdom of the heavens one day. Whether you'll have that great mansion up there on top of the hill, whether you might have the little mansion down lower. That's probably the one I'll be in. At least the one I'm hoping to be in, while all of you will be up in that high mansion. But that's what you want to aim for. The love of God in your heart, which will transform you, which will transform everything about your life. But you got to keep focused. You've got to keep focused. You can't let it go by the wayside. Make this particular Lent something to remember, something that you really made an effort. And it won't be easy. You know, going to a lot of services is not easy, I know. Believe me, I do it all the time. It's not an easy thing. But it's worthwhile because it's denying your inclinations towards self. It's saying, okay, I'm going anyway. I don't feel like going. I'm going. I don't want to be there. I'm going. It's raining out today. It'd be nice to sleep. No. Go. Deny yourself on the little things. And when you deny yourself on the little things, they build up into greater things. And when you deny yourself on the great things, then the radiance of God comes shining down upon you and says, this is something I can work with. This person is ready now. I can mold this person. I can talk to this person. I can commune with this person. That's what God is saying to you. You've got to be willing. He's not going to force it. Well, sometimes He does. But it's rare. And also be aware that temptations are going to come. Little temptations. I can't tell you the number of times during Lent when I'm trying to get here for one of the many, many services we have, and somebody pulls in front of me that is insisting on driving 15 miles an hour. That happens all the time. And there's other things as well that are going to come up suddenly. But you can't let them disturb you. You've got to keep your mind on what you need to do and to accomplish, and the things that you are bringing back to God during this period of time that you've ignored for the rest of the year, because that's what it's all about. So my brothers and sisters, take this day of the last judgment into heart. Go out when you leave the church and gaze at that icon in the narthex of the Ancient of Days, and know that it's real. That know that He's here. He's here now. You will receive Him in just a few minutes into your very being. And you want to make sure that that being is ready for Him. Do that. And when Pascha rolls around, you will have the most glorious time you've ever had in your entire lives. Amen.